The open winter has impacted crops in a variety of ways. So how did the winter that wasn't impact growers across north central Idaho? Joining us this morning, University of Idaho's Doug Finkelberg, an area extension educator in cropping systems covering Idaho, Nez Perce, Lewis, Clearwater, and Latah counties. And Doug, thank you so much for the time. So what have you been seeing so far this spring?
Yeah, I've been out asking folks specifically about how the open winter affected weed control this spring. And because now we're at the point where most people are seeing the effects of their least winter crop weed control program. And the story of this year is that we really didn't have much of a winter. I was taking photos of blooming volunteer canola in wheat fields around Lewiston in late January. And there were plants in bloom, quite happily growing. And that's really translates to what I've heard from the producers, is that this winter, if you didn't get a soil residual herbicide on last fall and it didn't get activated, you've got a lot of grassy weed problems because we didn't see the season close. And so precipitation that we love to get over the winter was causing flushes of Italian rye and wild oats and volunteer cereals to keep coming. And without some sort of residual holding them back, a lot of folks had a mess to deal with this spring. And that mess was earlier than usual because people were racing to try to get herbicides applied before their crops canopied over for their winter planted crops. And that really pushed the calendar this year because everything was on an accelerated cycle, whether it was 10 days to 2 weeks. Things have just been early because we had so many growing degree days that we're able to accumulate with the warmer than usual open winter.
So Doug, have you seen a situation like this before where winter really wasn't winter and we didn't see the cold temperatures and the die-off that we typically have?
I haven't seen it in my working career up here, and that's spanning about 17 production seasons now. So I think that we broke a lot of records across the West for temperature in winter months. And I think that whether or not this is any kind of new normal or just a one-off pendulum swings erratically kind of a situation, I can't say that, but it's not anything that we see commonly or have seen recently.
So, Doug, in your region, are there any crops that suffered more than others?
Well, the strange thing about North Central Idaho is the winter crops, by and large, look really good. We've had more disease issues than we might typically have, especially with fungal disease pressure, also abiotic issues, physiological leaf spot. Often we'll see fungal disease and physiological leaf spot in wheat in the same field, which makes things very confusing. But we only worry about fungal diseases when we have enough water to worry about the crop. And what we saw was that mild winter really favored grassy weeds. Well, that really favors grassy crops, and wheat's a grass. So the moisture that we got over the winter, the growing degree days that we got, and then when it was warmer than usual in the early spring and then moderated recently in temperature with a little bit of precip from recent storms, it kind of created some perfect conditions to finish the wheat crop off. So while there's headaches from the way the season has unfolded, the only bright spot I think in ag in Idaho right now is, in a large sense, is how lucky we are that our cash crop is coming through looking by and large very good right now. The other bright spot is that the fall canola that went in similarly looks to have benefited from the more moderate conditions at the close of its growing season. We haven't seen extreme heat spikes that have shut off bloom. We've seen a lot of insect pressure because the open winter didn't put any real downward pressure on a lot of bugs. But so I don't know how profitable people will be, how many times they'll have had to spray for cabbage seed pod weevil, but they're going to have grain in the bin to worry about moving before too long after they harvest.
Doug, when you're talking to growers, what words of encouragement, or just words, I guess you could say, are you giving them as we get ready to kick off summer?
Things are going to be early this year. Fall crops will be coming off earlier than usual. Although last year we had an earlier harvest than we typically see, and I think that that's going to be a trend that continues into this year. Also, people have gone to a lot of varieties that that come off earlier for a number of different risk management reasons, but that has been a trend over the last decade in wheat production. The guys got to be ready to go early this year and have all their logistics lined up, because the crop's going to be of decent quality and size, and it's going to come early.
Doug, final question, then we'll let you go. What's been keeping you busy this spring?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been called out for a number of different reasons this year, looking at, especially when we're trying to figure out if we've got a fungal disease issue or if we just have a physiological deep spot expression. But one troubling thing is that I was able to confirm three additional fields in Nez Perce County that had soil-borne wheat mosaic virus. This is only 3 years now we've had that in North Idaho. I guess we're going into our fourth. We know of a number of locations this spring where we were able to confirm that we now know of three additional locations. It's troublesome because we currently don't have the one tool that can control that disease, which is well-adapted germplasm, that's varieties that are resistant to it. It's a disease that lives in the soil. Once it's there forever. You don't rotate crops to manage it. It'll infect everything, but it only causes economic damage to wheat in particular, winter wheat in particular, more specifically. And so we were able to document an expanding presence of this soil-borne virus. And that's troubling, but what we have not seen is the areas where we found it 3-4 years ago, it doesn't seem to be spreading in acreage very quickly. And so we're optimistic right now that there's still time for us to get a better suite of well-adapted varieties to this area that also have resistance to soil-borne, to offer producers that are dealing with a limited amount of this new virus to our area in their fields. So I think that if I was to leave you with anything, if you're seeing yellowed areas in the early spring that aren't in the low spots, that don't look like nitrogen deficiency, the UI can now, you can take a 6-inch soil sample, send it to our diagnostic lab at Parma, and we can run it for soil borne and let you know whether or not that's an issue. It doesn't have to be just when you see symptoms in the field. We can take that soil sample 12 months out of the year, send it to the Parma Diagnostic Lab, and let you know whether or not that virus is present or not. So that's a new pest in the neighborhood, and the UI reacted very quickly and created a soil bioassay for it, which is cool because before this, we had to send tissue samples off only when there was enough virus in the plant to get a detection. And that was just a couple week period in the early spring. So this new soil testing method for this new virus has really expanded our ability to monitor whether or not it's around.
The University of Idaho's Doug Finkelberg, thanks so much for joining us right here on the PNW Ag Network.